Today, we see an incredible amount of authority being exerted by the federal government. Is it legal? Is it constitutional? Are we facing a constitutional crisis? Today, we explore that. Why a number of states are calling for a convention of states to rein in the federal government and re-exert our states' rights in several areas, like fiscal responsibility, individual rights and freedoms, especially when it comes to medical decisions. Leading the call for that in Montana is State Senator Tom McGilvray. He's a state senator from Senate District number 23 in the Billings area and southeastern Montana, former House Majority Leader in 2001, a fifth-generation Montanan. And this is in relation to Senate Joint Resolution number 2, which it calls for an approval by our state legislature for the call for a constitutional convention. And why is that important? Let's ask Tom. Good morning, Senator. How are you doing?
Hey, good morning, Tom. I appreciate you having me on this morning. But let me just make a quick correction here. We're not asking for a constitutional convention. We're really looking for Article 5, which is a convention to propose amendments to the Constitution. Actually, there's no provision for any constitutional conventions under our Constitution. So let's just take that off the table right now. We're looking at a convention of states to simply propose amendments to the Constitution.
Thank you. My apologies.
No worries.
Yeah, a convention of states versus a constitutional convention. Totally different thing. Yeah.
Totally different thing, yeah. And we're really concerned about Washington dysfunction. I don't think anybody disagrees with the idea that Washington is completely dysfunctional. We are looking at a $3 trillion deficit this year, a $3 trillion deficit under the Trump administration in their last fiscal year. You know, it could be double that given certain congressional proposals up now. So we're pushing nearly $30 trillion of debt, not to mention the, you know, some people say $200 trillion of unfunded liabilities. So, you know, we're talking debt that's just never, it's unprecedented in human history.
The whole thing about the debt is I don't think anybody's taking it seriously. I mean, I don't say anybody. I know many are, but it just seems like it's one of those things that there's no will in Congress to stop the overspending. Will this help?
Absolutely. Constitutional amendments are very respected, and if we proposed an amendment in a convention to propose amendments under Article 5 of the Constitution, and that convention drafted an amendment to balance the budget, however they choose to do that. It's got to get ratified by 38 states eventually to become part of the Constitution, which is a big lift. But think about it this way, Tom. Amendments to the Constitution are highly regarded and respected. Like, for example, the 19th Amendment, which says women can vote. Can you imagine us stopping someone at the polls and saying, you're a woman, you can't vote? Well, that's ludicrous, unthinkable. So amendments are very respected, probably most respected parts of the Constitution. So if we had an amendment to balance our budgets, we would balance our budget, just like Montana does every session of the legislature.
And I know that you and I had chatted a while back, and maybe we'll just, since we're talking fiscal responsibility right now, there's talk about this modern monetary theory, and I looked into that too, and essentially it just doesn't make sense. It's not a common sense theory. Maybe you should explain it better, but it's essentially, don't worry about how much money you spend because we can always print more.
Yeah, we talked about this maybe a year or so ago, and Representative Terry Moore and I wrote an op-ed in the Gazette probably almost 2 years ago now, warning about inflation and modern monetary theory. And of course, we were dead on. We predicted it back then, and we're all experiencing inflation in housing prices, gasoline prices, labor costs, you name it. So modern monetary theory simply says it doesn't matter how much debt or deficit you have. The bigger, the better. And that's really who's in charge in Washington now is the modern monetary theorists. You can spend as much as you want. We know that's not true. Look at Germany or Rome, who debased their currencies. Bottom line is country that debases its currency, destroys its economic power through excessive debt, will not any longer be a superpower. There's never been any fact in history that is contrary to that, what I just said. So we got to get our fiscal house in order before we destroy our nation and destroy our power in the world.
I'm always in favor of that. And frequently I'll actually talk about what a billion, trillion, or what $1 trillion looks like. And it's unfathomable when you think about it. Again, it's a stack of $100 bills that goes 260 plus miles into the air and would sit higher than where our space station orbits, almost double that. And that's just a stack of $100 bills for the amount of what $1 trillion is. Where's are we going to be able to muster the will, Senator, to get restraint from the federal government?
Well, it's up to the states. The problem with us today, Tom, is that we keep looking to Washington to change, and Washington will not change. We think if we elect the right conservative or the right Republican, it will change. That's not happening. It's not been working for 60 years. It's not going to happen today. Expecting Washington to change is like asking a grizzly bear to guard your food supply while you're out backpacking. It will end badly. So it's just not going to happen. And that's why the states, we have to start looking to the state legislatures to implement Article 5, to propose some amendments to the Constitution to force Washington to change. That's the only way it'll happen. And Tom, it's just not debt. It's the intrusion of the federal government into states' rights. How can an executive, a president in this case, declare an unconstitutional executive order to shut down a previously contracted pipeline, Keystone XL in this case, shuttering thousands of jobs, taking away $66 million a year of tax revenue from eastern Montana? How can that happen? You know, we've had smoke in the air all summer long because the federal government has simply not allowed Montana or other states to manage their federal forests. So unless we stop Washington from destroying states' rights, they will control everything, and it'll be a total mess, even worse than it is today.
So then if I asked you the question, are we facing a constitutional crisis, you would say yes, but there are things we can do about this. Tom McGilvray is with us, state senator from Senate District 23, former House Majority Leader, also would know a few things about finances. He served as a financial advisor for over 25-plus years and a graduate of Montana State University Bozeman. The Bobcats won this weekend. Did you catch that?
I did.
Bet you did. That's good. Hey, Tom, convention of states. Forgive the faux pas there. What is it? What does it take?
Well, according to Article 5 of the United States Constitution, whenever 2/3 of the states make an application to Congress for a convention on a specific subject, then Congress has to make the call. So the first key word is make an application. So we're the state of Montana, and that's what Senate Joint Resolution 2 was. It's simply an application to Congress for a convention limited to specific subjects. So the point here is that we make an application. That's the key word. Think of it like this. If you make an application to the state of Montana for a antelope permit, you get an antelope permit. You don't get a moose permit. If you went out and shot a moose and told the game warden, well, I got an antelope permit, that's not going to fly. So the states make application on a certain subject, and then the convention is limited to that subject. What I proposed was a convention of states to address three subjects: impose fiscal restraints on the federal government, limit the power and jurisdiction of the federal government, and impose term limits on its officials and members of Congress. So we want to address those three subjects.
How's the progress on this? This is, and maybe you can go back a little bit, because I think this movement, there's an official nationwide movement too, and then there's going to be a support and defend presentation upcoming in Billings on the 23rd. We'll talk about that. It's going to feature Rob Nadelson, who's original host of this program.
Right. Well, the first thing you need to realize is that 15 states have passed the very resolution I carried in the Senate. I think two states, North Carolina, Wisconsin, and Nebraska, are in a position where they can pass it before their years are up. So we're making progress. But, Tom, this is not a new thing either. The 17th Amendment, which provides for the direct election of senators, was actually, it didn't happen through a convention of states, but there were enough states that had applied for a convention to have the direct election of senators that Congress finally capitulated and said, okay, we'll propose an amendment and then we'll send it out for ratification. The repeal of prohibition, the 21st Amendment, was done the same way. Enough states had gotten there, and then finally Congress proposed the amendments to set it out for ratification. So we've had hundreds of different Article 5 applications. Montana has even sent in Article 5 applications before. They sent in one on the 17th Amendment. They sent in one on polygamy, and probably more that I'm not aware of. So this is not a new thing. It just hasn't been done recently.
People have some reservations about it.
Yeah, they do. And typically when you have a great idea that's going to make a change to save the country, people generally have reservations. So they fear there's some risk in a convention going beyond its application. But like I've already explained, that is virtually impossible. Simply one reason is because that convention will be the most watched event in history. Everybody will be tuning in. When the states send commissioners to the convention, they are given an oath. They are given specific instructions. If they go beyond that instruction or the application, they can be recalled. And again, going back to my example a minute ago, everybody understands the application process is no different with an application to Congress for a convention to propose amendments. You apply for an antelope permit and you get one, that doesn't allow you to go out and shoot a moose or an elk. If you apply for District 500, you don't get to shoot an antelope in District 700. So we understand the basic concept of an application, and all we're doing is applying those same laws, Supreme Court decisions, to this process too. So I think that's unfounded. And frankly, the history of those arguments are liberal professors that wanted to stop conservative applications back in the 60s and 70s.
I want to come back, Senator, and talk more about the support, both at our state level, but also at a national level, and then talk, too, about this presentation upcoming on September 23rd. Tom McGillivray, state senator from Senate District 23, the guest today. Grew up in Montana, now serves in the state Senate, District 23, a former House Majority Leader. In fact, you go back, he's a Majority Whip in 2007. On the House side, Deputy Minority Floor Leader in 2009. I love this part of your bio, Tom, that says you enjoy Montana wildflowers, backpacking, hunting, fishing, and when time allows, is a bad golfer. Have you done some bad golfing lately?
Yeah, and it's gotten worse, frankly.
That's, I guess we can expect more of that then, too. You know, the golf game waxes and wanes like interest perhaps in our national debt. Yeah, this Senate Joint Resolution 2, as you talked about, re-empowering the states to guard our individual liberties. I want to talk about the support for it on a local level, but also there's some rather authoritative national support for this, too.
Yeah, great question, Tom. In Montana, you know, you can go to conventionofstates.com and read more about this issue. But at conventionofstates.com, you can actually sign a petition for a convention of states. And when you do that in Montana, that's automatically will send an email to your state legislator telling them that you support it. I believe the number of people in Montana that are supporting the convention of states that we submit an application to Congress for that is close to 13,000 now.
Hmm.
And as a legislator, I'm consistently getting emails. I mean, I think there's roughly in the neighborhood of 1,000 or more people in Billings, the Yellowstone County area, that have signed that petition. So we're seeing strong support, millions of people. It's, you know, the problems are obvious. I mean, people can't look at Washington and say it's running smoothly. It's dysfunctional. And when the founders implemented Article 5, the convention to propose amendments, they did this because they felt there'd be a time when the federal government would be abusive of its powers, they would not be accountable to the people, and the states would need to take action. And so right now, that's why I'm pursuing this, because as a state legislature and a state legislator, I have as much responsibility to fix Washington as a senator that we send there. Probably more, because Washington is out of control.
The last I checked, too, was like 2.16 million signatures nationwide. You talk about the 13,000 in Montana. That's over 10% of our population. You know, 2.16 million, you're going to be under 10% there. Maybe it's 7%. That's a rather large amount just to go for the call to a convention of states. So there's support for it to a certain level. Are you expecting an increasing amount of support, because we have seen, as you noted, from the federal government, and in particular, just last week, the White House saying they are going to mandate vaccinations, which I know states are looking at challenging that. I'm surprised we haven't seen that challenge. I guess that they got to get their ducks in a row first, but that's a rather large amount. And this, what's coming out of Washington, D.C. is, in my opinion, egregious in a lot of ways.
Well, Tom, you have to go back to the original founders and the framers of the Constitution. During the ratification debates, the big issue was states' rights. The Constitution would not have been ratified had not states retained certain powers. Among those powers that states retained were health care, poverty, elections, and all manner of issues, police power, education, all these issues were state control issues. And what we've seen from the federal government is they continue to abuse power, take over more and more power, and they do this through the power of the dollar. Since they can deficit spend however much they want, they can control states with money, and they bribe the states with money. If you don't do this, then you cannot have this money, etc. And so we have a problem of federal abuse. Federalism, the key thought of the founders, that there would be a division of power between the states and the federal government, is no longer being practiced. And the Article 5 process to propose amendments is to restore federalism, limit the power and jurisdiction of the federal government. And we need to do this. And back to your question, Tom, about that resolution, the reason that didn't pass in the last legislative session is simply people are afraid. They're afraid to take bold steps to address big problems. And we need to stop fearing taking bold steps. If we didn't have legislators in 1786 that proposed bold changes with the new Constitution, we would not have the country we have today. And if we don't take bold steps now, we won't have a country in the future.
So Article 5 of the U.S. Constitution gives states the power to call a convention of states to propose amendments. It takes 34 states to call the convention, 38 to ratify any amendments that are proposed. We got more to explore here. I want to get some response from you on, because I know Senate Joint Resolution 2, which you introduced, you had another number of co-signers on there, had a judiciary hearing in this last legislative session. I kind of want to get what was said there, and then we'll come on back too and talk about what people can expect, you know, as this education goes forward on the Convention of States and this presentation, Support and Defense. So that's ahead. Going to catch an update on the Yellowstone River Bypass Channel, the progress there. James Bauer of Brower is going to be with us here in just a little bit. Tom Schultz back from the Northern News Network. It's From Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana. And Tom McGilvray, a state senator from Senate District 23, as we're talking about this call for the Convention of States, and thank you, Tom, for being here, Senator. I do appreciate it. I want to look at House Bill 702. There is a report that the Attorney General, and not just from Montana, but others around the state, around the country, are looking at challenging this mandate, this vaccine mandate from the White House. I want to talk about, you know, give us your thoughts on how that might move the ball forward in your resolution for this Convention of States.
Well, I think, again, it's just a matter of federal government shoving things down your throat that you don't want. I mean, the most commented on bills in the legislature last session were 702 and 703. I don't know the numbers off the top of my head, but I believe there were 17,000 emails, calls coming into the legislature in support of House Bill 702 and 703, with maybe a couple hundred against. Montanans simply don't want to be told by the government what type of health care they should get. It's a constitutional Montana right. Article 2, Section 3 of the Montana Constitution says that we all have the right to pursue our own health care issues. So when a government comes in and says, you have to do this, it's a constitutional issue. Where do you stop that? Do they say you have to get sterilized, or do you have to get this medical treatment or that medical treatment? It's a very, very slippery slope, and that's why the Montana Constitution gives us the constitutional right to determine our own health care decisions and our religious rights to refuse something that's against our conscience. So again, back to SJ2, or the resolution to call a convention to propose amendments. This is just symptomatic of the larger problem that the federal government continues to intrude in the state's rights, the people's rights, constitutional rights, taking more and more power. And that's got to stop. And that's why we're doing this. And that's why we're having these events.
Yeah, go into it. Education is key here, and this is part of it, isn't it?
Yeah, education is key. And Professor Nadelson, he's one of the top constitutional scholars in America. He's a Montanan, taught constitutional law and law at the University of Montana for 23 years. As you know, ran for governor in Montana in 2096. And on Article 5, he is the foremost constitutional scholar in America on this issue. And he can dispel, based on research, based on fact, the myths that have surrounded Article 5 or the fear that some people have over it. So that's why we're having these meetings. We're meeting in Helena at Jorgensen's on the 21st at 7 o'clock. We're meeting in Billings on the 23rd at Emmanuel Baptist Church at 7 o'clock. That's a Thursday night on the 23rd of September, 7 o'clock, Emmanuel Baptist Church. So we're having these meetings to inform the public and so they can encourage their state legislators. The bottom line here, Tom, is we have got to stop looking for Washington to change from Washington. I spoke to Senator Daines about this very issue. He told me, quote unquote, Washington will not change from Washington. It is impossible. President Reagan, when he's speaking of an Article 5 convention to propose amendments for a balanced budget, he said, we cannot depend on Washington to change. We cannot depend on Congress. The only solution that will work, and this is Ronald Reagan in his State of the Union address in 1984, is a convention to propose amendments. That's the only solution. And that's where I am today. We've got to stop looking at Washington to change. We've got to start demanding our state legislators look at this issue, or our country is in serious jeopardy of fiscal collapse.
State Senator Tom McGilvery. Tom, I appreciate your time here, and I appreciate the effort that goes into all of these things, and I look forward to chatting again about the progress here. Thank you.
Tom, thanks a lot for having me on today. Have a great day.
Support and Defend, that's in Helena on the 21st and Billings on the 23rd. We're back with James Brower right after this on Voices of Montana.
Voices of Montana continues right after this.